house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Take from them silver and gold and make a crown. Set it on the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And say to him, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, the man whose name is the branch, for he shall branch out from his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. It is he who shall build the temple of the Lord, and shall bear royal honor, and shall sit and rule on his throne. And there shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And the crown shall be in the temple of the Lord as a reminder to Helam, Tobijah, Jedidiah, and Hen, the son of Zephaniah. And those who are far off shall come and help to build the temple of the Lord. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And this shall come to pass if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. As for the reading of God's holy word, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Beloved people of God, called to be saints, we just witnessed the Winter Olympics this past February. And when we think of the Olympics, what's the first thing that comes to mind? And children, I ask you that. When I say the word Olympics, what do you think of right away? Well, most often we think of medals, especially that gold medal. You're going for Olympic gold. You want that crowning achievement to be the best in your field, so to speak. Go for the gold. If you've won a gold medal, you're considered to be the absolute best person in the sport in which you participate. There were years of training. There was the competition. And when you got to the world stage, you battled your peers and you came out on top. The gold medal is yours. You stand upon that podium. You bend down and that medal is placed upon your neck. The hard work is over. And you enjoy the pomp and circumstance of hearing your national anthem sung. Victory is yours. Well, as fun as the Olympics are to watch, and some people care, some people don't, but many do. It brings national pride. These things are nothing compared to the coronation, the beauty that is the crowning ceremony, the beginning of the reign and rule of the branch, the Messiah, the one who has just defeated all of his enemies, the one who has defeated all of his people's enemies, the one who ushers in an era of everlasting, unending peace, one who ushers in an unending era of prosperity for all of his people. The one who did for his people what they could never do. We watched the Olympic athletes go about their sports on the TV. We know I could never do that. But beloved, that pales in comparison to what this branch, what the Messiah, what this permanent high priest does for his people. His reign and his rule bring benefits for his people that are untold and that are glorious. And so our theme this morning, as we look at this vision of Zechariah's, we'll see this: the word of the Lord reveals that one day the branch will reign as king and priest over his people. One day the branch will reign as king and priest over his people. We'll see what this means as we look at 3 points, take this vision up in 3 points. First, the coronation of the high priest. Second, the identity of the high priest. And third, and finally, the hope of the high priest, the king priest. The coronation of the king priest, the identity of the king priest. And finally, the hope that he brings. So, beloved, as I alluded to earlier, we saw last week the utter victory that the Lord God would win over all of his enemies. His teams of horsemen and those chariots were chomping at the bit, we read, to get going, to go out and to destroy the enemies of God's people, to go to the north and destroy the Assyrians, and to the south to destroy the Egyptians, the two greatest enemies known to the Judeans at the time. These horses, these charioteers are ready to take care of business. As they go out, indeed, they do accomplish complete and total victory. The Lord declared so. He declared victory. As we read in verse 8, he says, "Behold, those who go toward the north country have set my spirit at rest in the north country." Rest, meaning the work is done. Victory has been obtained. The work is over. Now what? Like the gold medalists, the hard work is done. Now, beloved, comes the coronation ceremony. When Canadian athletes compete at the Olympic level, we cheer them on at home. But here in Zechariah 6, the Judeans who are returning from exile, bringing with them gifts of silver and gold, they're going to see this priest, this king, with their own eyes. So look with me at verses 9 and 10 of our text. "And the word of the Lord came to me, 'Take from the exiles Heldai, Tobijah, and Jediah, who have arrived from Babylon, and go the same day to the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Take from them silver and gold, and make a crown, and set it on the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest.'" We know that these are returning exiles who represent many of the people of Israel who were exiled in Babylon. And we know this from the book of Ezra. It's not just as if Heldai and Tobijah and Jediah are bringing their own gifts. No, they bring with them many gifts from many people. And so if you would, turn with me to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 7. So we found on page 389 in the Pew Bibles. Ezra follows 1st and 2nd Chronicles. We read in Ezra 7, verses 14 and following this: "For you are sent by the king and his seven counselors to make inquiries about Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of God, which is in your hand, and also to carry silver and gold that the king and his counselors have freely offered to the God of Israel, whose dwelling is in Jerusalem, and with all the silver and gold that you shall find in the whole province of Babylonia, and with the freewill offerings of the people and the priests, vowed willingly for the house of their God that is in Jerusalem." And so Ezra and Zechariah, being contemporaries, they're talking of bringing silver and gold plundered from the Babylonians, gifts from the king, gifts, freewill offerings from the Jews themselves, all these piles of gold coming back to Judah. The important one here is the one that comes from the people of God themselves. And beloved, as is always true in Scripture, the names of the men who bring these gifts are vitally important for us to see and to understand, especially with the changes that come to their names. I don't know if you noticed, but when we get to verse 14, the names of a couple of these men change. Why is that? We'll come to that later, but here we have three names given, four names. We have Heldai, whose name means robust, Tobijah, whose name means the goodness of God, and Jediah, whose name means God knows. And these men are commanded to bring their gifts to Josiah, another returning exile, whose name means the Lord founds, the Lord establishes, the Lord supports. And so in this vision, we have a sign for all the Jewish people, all the remnant who is still faithful to God, who still has humbled themselves before him. We have here a sign that in spite of their many years of exile, in spite of the fact that they felt abandoned by God, in spite of enduring decades of torture and slavery, being taken away from their land, they still serve the one and only God who still knows them, who cares for them, who isn't oblivious to their plight, who knows their plight, who founded them, who established them, in his covenants with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and who still supports them and establishes them even now. He is the good God, as Tobijah's name means. Beloved, he alone will be able to save and exalt his people. And so now Zechariah is told, receive the gifts of silver and gold that come back with these men and do something with them. Look with me at verse 11. He's told to take these gifts received from these returners from exile. And he said, he's told, take from them the silver and gold and what? Make a crown and set it on the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And again, we have another name that we ought to take heed to. Take that gold from Haldai, from Jediah, and bring it to Josiah, the son of Jehozadak, whose name means the Lord is righteous. And once that crown is finished, it will be placed upon the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak. If you remember back from the vision in 3, Joshua was the high priest. Joshua was filthy, left to himself. But Joshua was then crowned with righteousness. His dirty and filthy clothes were taken off and replaced with pure white clothes. Again, righteousness that came from God. And now that crown is to be placed upon Joshua. A crown made of two metals, we read, silver and gold, a diadem. And beloved, the more musically inclined amongst us, we maybe note that the tune to which we just sung, the crown him with many crowns, the name of that is Diademata. Again, referring to the crown that our Lord Jesus wears, that precious metal, glorious crown. And beloved, it's also important that we recognize that this crown is one of multiple crowns that this man wears. He will not only be the ruler who defeats the enemies of God. And again, for the ancient Jews, they're thinking Egypt, they're thinking Assyria, they're thinking the Babylonians. But this strange character is also their eternal high priest. Look with me at verse 12. And say to him, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, the man whose name is the branch, for he shall branch out from his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. And again, there it is, that capitalized name, branch. What's going on here? It feels like we're being whiplashed back and forth. The high priest, Joshua, the branch, a crown that goes on two different men. What's happening? What's going on here? Beloved, we see secondly this morning the identity of this king priest. But even so, we're still confused because this crown goes back and forth. It goes from Joshua, the high priest, to this branch, this messianic figure. But then it's removed and it's hung in the temple as a memorial. What is going on? And so look at verses 13 and 14 with me. It is he who shall build the temple of the Lord and shall bear royal honor and shall sit and rule on his throne. And there shall be a priest on his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both. And the crown shall be in the temple of the Lord as a reminder to Helam, Tobijah, Jediah, and Hen, the son of Zephaniah. We have a focus here on the branch. The focus shifts to this branch that is branching out. And so, children, I have another question for you. How fast does a branch grow? You ever look out at the trees and try to watch as the branch grows? How does that work out for you? Can you actually see that stem lengthening and the leaves unfolding? No, it's slower than watching paint dry, isn't it? It would be a foolish endeavor. But think about this. Driving around town this past week, driving through the countryside, what did you notice as you looked out at the trees? We were here last week together, and we could look at the trees, and they looked pretty bare. Maybe a few buds out there, but coming to church this morning, you can see some leaves sprouting. The trees and the branches are growing. Once again, it happened without us even knowing. It's a slow process, but it is indeed happening right before our very eyes. These trees coming to life. Well, the word of the Lord was revealed to Zechariah, and it says in verse 12 that the branch shall branch out from his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. And so when a branch grows, it takes time. A branch does not instantly pop itself out. You can stare at it, but you'll become impatient. The great sequoia trees that we see in California, well, beloved, they were little tiny saplings poking their little trunks out of the ground hundreds of years ago. So again, this feels a bit jarring for us. Well, how do we get to this topic? We went from talking about the Spirit of the Lord resting and claiming victory over the nations to talking about a crown being made for Joshua the high priest, and now the branch being crowned, the branch building the temple and slowly branching out. What's going on here? Who is this? And beloved, we ought to bring to mind the words of the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah 53:1-2, a passage we know well. Who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. This is the passage from Isaiah on the suffering servant. Who is this shoot that comes out from the dry ground, this little sapling, the one who grows into a branch, the one who will be inhabiting all the earth? Beloved, this is the suffering servant, the Son of God, no one other than the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. One commentator says this about the origins of this branch. He shall not openly descend from heaven in visible glory and greatness, but shall slowly grow up out of the earth in lowly humiliation. This was true of him as a man, for he was the humble carpenter's son for 30 years and grew slowly in the shade as a Nazarene. This is a root, a branch rejected by men. He would be nothing for Artaxerxes to look at. He was nothing for Pilate to look at. He's nothing for Justin Trudeau to look at. But beloved, nor was he something to look at by the religious leaders of his day, rejected by his own people. But that tender stem, that root, will grow, and it is growing into a glorious branch. One that is branching even now today into all the world. The fact that we come together in Leduc is a fulfillment of this promise. That branch has reached literally around the world, and it continues to grow day by day. It is growing in such a way that makes the growth of those great sequoia trees in California look like little saplings. But furthermore, beloved, we read that he will build the temple of the Lord, the dwelling place of God, where God and man come together and live together. And for the people of Judah in the short term, this meant that Judah could have hope that that second temple would be built, that Zerubbabel would be successful in his endeavor to build the temple. But for all of history, there is much more to this prophecy, something far greater. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5 remind us of this. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ. Christ is the one who is the great Joshua, the high priest. Christ is that one who mediates between God and man. Christ is that one who is the great king, the great branch, who branches out into all the world. Christ is that great one who is the temple of God, who is building up his people brick by brick into his holy place, into the dwelling place of God. And so, beloved, as we prepare to come to the table of the Lord next Lord's Day, is this what is on your heart and mind? Is this where you find your comfort? Is this where you find your hope? Is this where you find peace? We must decrease that he might increase. Are you looking to find your vitality, your life, your hope in him alone? The Lord Jesus says in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the what? You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Again, reflect on that as we consider our own text this morning. Verse 13, it is he who shall build the temple of the Lord and shall bear royal honor and sit and rule on his throne, and there shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Where are you finding your vitality? Where are you finding your strength? Do you know the Lord who is the good one, the Lord who knows? Beloved, who not only knows the suffering that we go through, he knew well the suffering of the Jews. Many were still waiting for family members to be returned to the promised land. Politically, spiritually, materially, they were in a bad way. And yet, the Lord comes to them in grace. Hold on. Hang in there. Have hope. The branch, the high priest, will come. Beloved, the branch, the king, will not only reign and rule, but he has two roles. He will be an eternal priest between us and our God. And this would be a reminder to all of his people that he is the one who is full of mercy and grace. And notice, as I said earlier, that those four names of those returned exiles come back to us once again in verse 14. Look with me there. And the crown shall be in the temple of the Lord as a reminder to Helam, Tobijah, Jediah, and Hen, the son of Zephaniah. Notice the change. We read about Heldai first, but now he's called Helam. And so he's not merely robust. He is healthy, strong. He is firmly established. Nothing can assail him. Nothing can assault him. God does this for him. God changes him from robust to established and strong. And Josiah, well, he's referred to here now as Hen. And hear that word, because it is one of the most beautiful words in Scripture. He is the one who is called grace, favor. That, beloved, is thirdly why we can have great hope as we consider the words of this prophecy, this vision. That crown is hung up in the temple of the Lord, so the returning exiles would know that God knows the plight of his people. That they would know that God will make his people strong. That they would know that he would treat them with grace, with favor. And beloved, we, as those who are thousands of years past these, know the beautiful fulfillment of this vision, of this prophecy. We know the person and work of Jesus Christ. He was the hope of all Israel. He is the hope for not just Israel, but beloved, those who were far off, people of every tribe, tongue, and nation. Look at the final verse of our text, verse 15. And those who are far off shall come and help to build the temple of the Lord. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And this shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. This shall come to pass. But hear that warning, beloved. There is a warning here for those who will not listen. For those who won't bend the knee to the branch. Who won't heed the call of the Messiah, of the high priest. The word of the Lord comes to us, and how do we hear that, beloved? The word is preached. The promises of the Messiah are given to us each and every Sunday. Repent and believe. Come to him in faith. Heed his call, his word. If Judah will heed the call, then the voice of the Lord means there are better days ahead. If Judah won't listen and heed the call, if we won't listen and heed the call, if you will not listen and heed the call, then remember the rest of our Lord's parable about us being the branches grafted into him, the vine. Those who reject him, those who will not know him, will be cut off, he says, and made into food for the fire. But for those who hear the call of the gospel, who respond by the Spirit's grace and repentance and faith, oh, there are better days ahead. Again, Judah's in a hard place. Families separated. Things were lonely. They felt abandoned. And yet they had hope in the Lord that his kingdom would come, that the branch would increase throughout all the nations, that those who are far off, not just the exiles, but people of every tribe, tongue, and nation would come and be made partakers, part of the temple of God. And so as we contemplate these things, as we examine our own hearts and lives, I ask you this day, do you find yourself struggling with disappointment, with weariness, with angst, with suffering, battling your own sin in your heart, the same sin over and over again? What do we do? Where do we go? Where do we look? Beloved, look to the branch. That crown was hung in the temple for all the people to see, to know that he would one day reign, that his kingdom would increase through all the earth, that he knows the plight of his people, that he will establish his people and found them on the firm foundation of that branch, that he would graft them in, that they would find life in him. And so in our weariness, in our suffering, in our disappointments, in our struggles, may we find hope here. That God knows our plight. God cares about our plight. He is good. He is strong. He will establish us. He is establishing his kingdom here on earth. He is building that temple, and we are part of it. Isn't that a beautiful and glorious thing? Beloved, thanks be to God. Let us fix our eyes upon the branch. Let us find our hope and our everything in Him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, indeed, we come to you as the one who is building his temple, with Christ as the cornerstone. The stone that the building rejected has become the cornerstone of your temple. You are building a people, a kingdom of priests to serve you. And so, Father, we praise and thank you this day that as those who were far off, we have heard the call to come to you, to abandon ourselves and our own self-righteousness, to depend completely and fully upon you. That one who was that tender shoot that has grown up before your face, that as he was rejected by the world, O Lord, you used his death to pour out your wrath upon the sins of your chosen people. And so, Father, we praise you that we can come before you this day boldly. We can come to you with great confidence, knowing that our salvation is not of us in any way, but it is all of this one who wears the crown, who is the high priest, who ministers between us and you, that one who is the Messiah, the great branch, the Son of David, reigning upon the throne forever and ever. And so, Lord, grant us the assurance that this brings. Grant us the boldness that this brings. O Lord, work upon us and by your Spirit as he brings us into our hearts and shapes us and forms us by that word. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our high priest. Amen. As we desire to come to the table of our Lord and plan to next week, Sunday morning,